Nathan.
Yeah.
All right, well, we have, we've reached our hour. Let me open us up with a word of prayer, and then we'll get started here. Father, we come before you, and we are grateful to you for all that you have done for us through Christ Jesus our Lord and through the gospel that goes forth to all the ends of the earth. We do pray for that gospel, that it would continue to bear fruit and increase both within us as well as throughout the whole world. We pray that you would continue to draw us to yourself and help us to walk in the light as you are in the light, indeed as you have drawn us out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. Our Father, we thank you for all the good things that you have done for us in this world, for giving us this beautiful creation, even when the weather is a little bit more difficult or windy, and yet the sun is shining. There is much beauty to behold in your creation. We thank you for these good gifts. And we thank you most especially for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us from death itself and brings us into new life as new creations. Behold, the old has passed and the new has come. Our Lord, we thank you for all that you do, and we pray that you would bless this time that we have together. In Jesus' name. All right, so I have to confess, so I was talking to Bill Vargo, a little bit of false advertising this morning. We're not going through identity this morning. I'm bad at telling you what's happening next week. I've come to realize that, so don't always trust me. But we invited Luke Brown to come and speak on the statistics of the OPC. Luke Brown has been the statistician for the OPC for the last 39 years, which means that every church at the end of the year submits its reports to Mr. Brown, and he compiles all the information to tell us how we are doing as a denomination, basically. But he has been, he is an engineer at Lockheed Martin. He's a member at Trinity OPC. He's been a member of the OPC since your childhood. And served as an elder actually for 37 years as well. So we want to welcome him. He's going to give us a presentation on statistics. Normally, I'll tell you this about his presentation. He sent it to me early and I got to look through it. Normally at the General Assembly, we get to see the statistics for the whole denomination, but we're also going to look at ones for our presbytery as well as our own church. So that's something unique to this.
Thank you, Shane. Thank you for the opportunity to bring a report like this. Each year I do a summary report. I'm not always attending a General Assembly because I don't go as a commissioner. So like this year it's out in Washington State, so I'm not going to make the trip all the way out there simply for a 15-minute report. But I do pull a report together. The report says here for the year 2022. The reason is that that's a full year report. For 2023, the information would be more up to date, except I only have 70% of it so far. And I set a deadline of March 1st, and typically by the deadline I get about half the reports. And, you know, they come in there at the last minute. I sent a reminder out last night to 98 churches and mission works saying I still need your report. So. What I will do after I go through the 2022 summary, I have a chart that show the trends as they appear based on the 70% that I have received. I also provide the assembly with a summary table of all the regional church statistics, and then for the congregations in each regional church, I have about 9 pages of spreadsheets that actually it's double pages, so about 18 pages of the details down to, you know, the individual numbers of the types of changes that take place. Say in the membership role, members are received in different categories or removed for different purposes, and that all gets reported to me. I'm not going to get into that level of detail, although I could, but we don't really have the time to do that. And then a recap is simply a very a one-page summary of just the top-level stats that go all the way back to 1937. And then also I pulled together a summary of the reports from the presbyteries. It's mostly the changes in mission works and congregations during the year, and the ministerial changes, the ordinations, the installations, dissolutions, and the transfers, and all like that get summarized for each of the presbyteries. And then the last item is this presentation. So let's get into it. Oops, wrong button. At the end of 22, the end of the previous year, then, we had 17 presbyteries. Presbytery is a ruling body for the regional church. So Living Hope is part of the regional church of Central Pennsylvania, but you all usually hear it described as the Presbytery of Central Pennsylvania. Just as the session is the ruling body for the local church. At the end of 22, we had 301 congregations. When I use the word congregation, I use it in the same definition as we find in the form of government, and that's an organized church. A mission work is not organized. It's not always disorganized. It's just unorganized, I guess is the right word. And technically not a congregation, I guess in a general sense, in the daily use of the word, you would refer to it as congregation, but I distinguish the term in the report here and in the stats between congregations and mission works. You see, in 2022, there are seven that were organized from mission works and two that were dissolved among the congregations, for a gain of five. And for mission works, a reduction of seven, well, five of those seven, no, all seven were organized. There were four that were started or received from outside of the OPC, and four were terminated. So there was a net gain of seven, or a net reduction of seven, but mostly for good reasons with all those mission works being organized, which is, you know, the goal of planting a church. The membership statistics for the denomination as a whole that year totaled just short of 33,000. I'll just give you a hint. For 2023, when that report is done, we will be over the 33,000 threshold for the first time. And that represented a 1% gain from the year before. We'll get to say a little bit more about that on, I think, the next chart. Of the 32,720, almost 600 were ministers, 24,000 communicant members, and 8,000 non-communicant members, sometimes referred to as baptized children. The change for the year, I'd use the laser pointer, but it doesn't work on this kind of a screen. You'll see 648 professions of faith. That's a typical number. You know. Usually it's above 500. Sometimes it reaches 700 or more professions of faith across the whole OPC. So you do a little bit of math and you say, well, that's about an average of about two per congregation. And that's a pretty consistent from one year to another. Of the 648, half of them, more than half, almost exactly half, were professions of faith made by non-communicant members. And I keep an eye on that number. Actually, one year I was totaling it up and looking at that number. This was quite a few years ago. And the number was 200-something. And then it struck me, one of those was my son. And so, you know, we're looking at numbers, but all these numbers represent people. You know, if we say, you know, there were 192 deaths, well, there were 192 families and friends and all multiplied by 192 affected by those deaths. So there's a lot of content behind the numbers. So you say, well, why bother with the numbers? Well, when you think about it, there must be a reason for that, because there's one whole book in the Bible devoted to numbers. And so numbering God's people has a long tradition to it. Each year, I usually summarize the transfers as just the difference between those received and those dismissed. And we usually lose that fight. It's a reduction of 370 or so that year. That's not unusual. And I don't distinguish in the information I gather from sessions transfers to and from OP congregations versus in and out of the OPC, like a transfer to the PCA or some other church, or someone received by letter of transfer from outside of the OPC versus inside. That would be interesting information to get, but the Assembly's never asked for it in all the history of the stats. That distinction was never made. So I'm not about to introduce that distinction, but I've just come to the conclusion over the years that there are just more places to move away from us than there is to move to another open congregation. That may not be actually provable, I suppose, but yeah.
Can you explain the difference between a communicant member and a non-communicant member?
Sure. A communicant member is one who has professed their faith in Christ or reaffirmed it upon joining the local congregation, and has all the rights of communicant membership, including partaking of the Lord's Supper. And, a non-communicant member is typically, almost entirely, a child that has not reached an age and come to faith in been examined by session and making their own public profession today. So that's, we have always divided the membership into those two categories. But when we talk about total members, we include both.
So the non-communicant members are almost entirely children.
Yeah, and that children can stretch out beyond the teens, even into the 20s, and during which time the session and others are seeking to get them to make profession of faith and become community members. And it's really hard from the statistics in a summary form to get a handle on, I've been asked a number of times over the years, what percentage of our young people are making profession of faith. And, the one time I dug into that in some depth, I came to the conclusion that actually a fairly high percentage. When you look at the number of non-communicant members, 7,000 or so, but 8,000, and but realize that's ages from birth to say 20 or so, typically, and you're 18 or something, and you say, well, that you would expect a certain number per year out of the distribution like that, and that's not too far from the 300 or more professions of faith that are made. Can't be precise about it because the reports I get aren't dealing with individual names. You know, that's down at the session level, and and also that's about the best we can do with that in terms of trying.
That's 25% of the goal. 25% of the goal, non-communicant.
Oh yeah, that's quite a few. This will take a little bit of time. I do want to get on through it, so I won't explain all of this, but it looks kind of complicated. Actually, this is a very simple chart. It goes from 1937, when the first year that statistics were gathered. The church, as you recall, was formed in June of 1936. So the end of the first complete year was 1937. And that was the first year for statistics. We started out with 7 presbyteries and 5,500 members and total. So the top line is the total membership, you know, coming up here to almost 33,000 at the end of 2022. But I have it subdivided by regional church, or what we used to refer to solely as presbyteries. And you can see how regional churches came into existence to grow from 7 of them to 17 of them over the history of the OPC. And I guess the first one was Presbytery of Philadelphia gave up some of its Western churches to the Presbytery of Ohio, which had very few. This is what appears to be just a dark line, just a handful of congregations. So Hollidaysburg, did they go back that far? I'm not sure. But Pittsburgh and a number of other Western PA ones and were transferred over to Presbytery of Ohio to build that out. And you can see how that's changed over the years. And Presbytery of Philadelphia split off churches to the Presbytery of the South, shown here in yellow. And then at a later point, Presbytery of the Mid-Atlantic came into being from churches that had been in the Presbytery of Philadelphia. Then Mid-Atlantic and South formed Presbytery of the Southeast, shown here in green. And what was the other? New York and New England at one point split off some churches for Southern New York
and Southern New York.
Connecticut and Southern New York. I should know. And we have the clerk right here. And of course, in this yellow field, we have Presbytery of Philadelphia and Presbytery of Ohio. Do I have that right?
That's correct.
Forming the congregations from there, forming Presbytery of Central Pennsylvania, Regional Church of Central Pennsylvania, about 11 or 12 years ago now. So, meanwhile, out west, this basically goes from east to west. That's kind of hard to do across the U.S., but Presbytery of California formed West Coast, and West Coast is now Northern California and Nevada. But out of that, Northwest was formed, you know, only a few years later. And you can see from the width of the lines, or the height, I guess, in this case, how each of these regional churches has grown over the year. You might wonder, why is that big dip there around 1989 or 90, 91? And that came about as the result of a number of pretty sizable congregations withdrawing from the OPC and joining the PCA because they were disappointed in the failure of the effort to join and receive OP Church, the OP denomination, into the PCA. So they thought, well, yeah, they'll do their own joining and receiving by leaving the OPC and joining the PCA. So there was a pretty sizable drop over 2 years there, followed by considerable amount of growth, you know, 5% a year for 5 or 6 years. And that growth has kind of leveled off a bit more to the rate of earlier years. More could be said, but that'll have to suffice for now. If I take that top line, I put it here in red on a logarithmic scale, and the straight line is a constant 2.1% per year. So the slope of the red line is the rate of growth. And you can see after the dip in 1990, the 5% growth rate leveling off into the 2% range. And more recently, it's generally been almost every year less than 2%, down in the 1% range, which is about where we've been now for a decade. I find that useful to make the comparison rather than the previous chart, because the previous chart, you can't tell the percentage change very easily when the base number changes over such a wide range. This takes care of that by looking at it in this kind of a scale. In terms of attendance, morning worship attendance in 2022 was almost back to the level of 2019, the year before COVID interfered with everything, besides attendance. Sunday school was back to 88% and is still, I think, recovering back to where it had been before COVID. In terms of offerings, we track the total offerings, and they have, across the board, of the whole OPC, have grown really well year by year, partly because growth in membership, but also growth in giving per member. And we keep track of the average annual giving by divided by the number of community members, not the total members. And you can see in 1 year, giving per community member grew almost 4%. And that's outstripping wage growth and the like. And considering that's an average across the entire church. And this is just the history since 2010 of that in thousands of dollars. The per capita giving, you can see that it's even on a linear scale, it's on the rise quite nicely. So each year there's plenty of reason for praise and thanksgiving. The newly organized churches, the hundreds of professions of faith, the reaffirmations of faith. Didn't explain that term before, but when a member joins, having come from a church with whom we don't have an ecclesiastical relationship of transferring members, they would come and reaffirm their faith joining with us and so that's referred to as a reaffirmation of faith. You see it nearly 1,000 have joined that year in that way, in addition to transfers from sister churches and of course the internal transfers between OB churches. We just mentioned the increase in giving. That year there were 18 ministers ordained. That's a pretty large number, but not an unusual number. In fact, the number for 2023 appears that it's going to be around 22 ordinations. So putting us well above 600 ministers now. And 5 are received from other churches, having already been ordained. And then each year I just put a tally of the names of the ministers who passed away. That year there were 7. For 2023, I have all the reports from presbyteries. No, I don't. There's still 2 that I don't have. And I have 70% of the reports from sessions. So we can look at some trends. These aren't final numbers, but I know of 4 newly organized congregations from Mission Works and 2 churches received into the OPC, one in near Buffalo, New York, and one in Maryland. Pretty sizable congregations, a little bit above the average size. You probably wonder, what's the average size of an OPC congregation? About 110 members, and that number has stayed constant for quite some time, actually, to be somewhat above 100 members. I know of, so far, of 11 new mission works begun in 2023, and a membership increase that appears to be getting close to 3%. I expect that number will grow a little bit when I get those other 30% of the reports. So that's really looking good. Worship attendance increasing 4.5%, and that's usually a good indicator of what lies ahead in coming years. Sunday school attendance is bouncing back, getting close to the pre-COVID levels. And total giving at this point appears to have increased 2.6%. That number will grow, I believe, as I get the remaining reports in, and probably end up in the 4 or 5% range. 22 ministers ordained, and seven, in addition to that, seven received from other denominations. And four of those are from the church in Maryland, Abingdon, Maryland, that that joined. Now, let's move on to central Pennsylvania, and I'll just highlight some of the statistics over the history of this regional church. In a summary, and these numbers are 2023, because I have reports from all of the congregations and from the presbytery clerk. So there are nine congregations and one mission work, a total of 991 members, broken down as you see there. And so it's almost 1,000. Not going to quite reach 1,000 this year, it looks like. And the attendance at morning worship, 790, and Sunday school, 444. And those weekly averages are for November. You know, it's late in the year as we collect that data. We just collect for May and November, so the membership numbers are at the end of the year, and the attendance is in November of the year. And the total offering is about $2.3 million. Here's, I hope that shows up well. From this angle, it looks kind of faint, but show membership. In blue is the communicant membership, and in red or whatever that is, the non-communicant membership. And I don't show them on top of one another. They're separate, and just to make it easier to read. The numbers you can see, as a presbytery or as a regional church, that membership has stayed very stable, very very steady. From the first year, 2011, through 2023, with about 700 or more communicant members, and looks like about a little over 200 non-communicant members. So that 997, was it, is the sum of these two numbers for 2023. For church attendance, I have morning worship attendance in the red, Sunday school attendance in what appears to be blue or purple. And you can see the big hit that was taken in attendance. And remember, these are numbers in November, so the real tight restrictions were in the spring of 2020. By November, things were easing up in terms of restrictions on gatherings and the like. You can see that at that point, there's what looks like about a 20%, 30% reduction in attendance. But that's bounced back to its pre-COVID levels, and likewise the Sunday school. In terms of offerings, over the history of central Pennsylvania, general offerings have grown like shown here in blue. Benevolence offerings have stayed pretty steady over the years, and capital offerings vary a lot from one year to the other, depending on individual churches having building programs or building improvement programs or purchasing property and getting contributions to support that. So that bounces around a lot, whether it, even on the full denomination, you'll see a lot of variation from one year to another in capital offerings. Focusing a little closer in on Living Hope. Went back into the stats and pulled out numbers, put them in a spreadsheet, and summarized them. But and we'll get to those charts in a minute. But for this past year, total membership at the end of the year was 138, 100 communicant members and 38 non-communicants. Attendance averaged in November, averaged 77 at worship and 45 for Sunday school. And offerings of $370,000, split between general and benevolence. Capital's not there because we're at zero, and I just didn't put a zero on the chart. So that was Living Hope at the end of last year. The details of, you know, we have the details, because Johnny reports them to me, of how many members were received by profession of faith or reaffirmation or transfer and so on. That's all that information is available, but not summarized. But only summarized here, I should say. Here's the history of membership of communicants in blue and non-communicants in red from the very beginning, which is what, 1982 is the first year that I have statistics for Living Hope. And you can see a lot of growth in the first decade or two, and then flattening out there in the 80s, or into the 90s, I mean, dropping off for a while, and then in the past 12 years or so, substantial growth in the membership of both communicants and non-communicants.
Amen.
That's really good. It's a good story there. Mm-hmm. A lot of history there. We could get into some of the details.
That's okay.
Probably. Or not. Also summarized attendance at Living Hope over the years. There's 1 year missing, and that's because I became a statistician there for the first year I did was 1985. And I just don't have a copy of the minutes from 84, which are from the assembly of 85, which would have the numbers from 84. And I just need to take this out sometime. Actually, I have them on CD, and I didn't take the time to, because I was on a business trip this past week, to go and find that number. And I thought, well, that's back then. Attendance, as you're more aware than I am, just from looking around every Sunday, has really grown in recent years, and reflecting the increase in membership. And so that was up to the 77 and, what was it, 38 or something? 44, I think, for Sunday school last year. And in terms of offerings, wow. You look at this, you say general offerings are four times what they were 15 years ago. That's huge. Big difference. And it did not come at the expense of benevolent giving, which went from relatively low numbers to, you know, quite substantial numbers for most of these last 8 or 10 years. Capital kind of jumped around. There was 1 year, it was 30,000 or something. I don't know the particulars of it. This past year it was zero. Nothing much to worry about. But, it's there when, you know, that giving is there when it's needed, it appears. And, but, you know, the overall trend has been very encouraging, I'm sure. I think that was all that I had prepared, but hopefully I'm prepared to answer any questions you might have. And we've got about as much as 10 minutes if we need it. Johnny.
Yeah, I'd like to comment because it's neat how it comes up. But so from our side, as clerk, I keep track of the church rolls, the community, non-community members, those transferring in and out, and reaffirmations of faith, I'm encouraged by them because that's people who tend to come from a non-reformed background who are coming into the OPC and learning and loving the doctrines of grace. And in May and November, we try to count, we have the ushers try to count every Sunday of how many are in Sunday school of children and adults and how many are in the worship service. But May and November are the really important ones. So we have those numbers. So I report those. And David Crane gives me the financial numbers. And we, in January, we send them to Luke, and he adds it to the thing. So it's encouraging. You know, a lot of churches during COVID were struggling and closed and all that. Well, we kind of grew in attendance and giving that really blessed us. We just kept preaching the word every Sunday, you know, and that was very encouraging to be part of that, to see the Lord blessing us at a time when many churches were struggling and we were had a lot of unity in our church, even though we might not have felt exactly the same about all the COVID issues. We loved one another through that. And so seeing that on a screen, you know, what we live, you know, week to week is kind of neat.
Luke?
John?
I guess in terms of presbyteries or regional churches, 2023 will be the first year of the presbytery that's divided off from the Midwest, Wisconsin, and so on. How I'm curious as to how that will get represented, since apparently that Midwest came out of what was originally the Presbytery of Wisconsin. Is that right?
Yeah. That's in this chart. I didn't deal with it there, but actually, the first year for the new Midwest Presbytery was 2019. No, I'm sorry, 21. 20, and then 2021 and 2022. And then, so this will be the third year that they report of the new arrangement of regional churches out there. So what I've done here to represent it on this, this is the Presbytery of the Midwest, which is now called Wisconsin and Minnesota, formerly Wisconsin way back when at the beginning, and then renamed to Midwest, and now back to Wisconsin and Minnesota. And the Midwest here, these past few years now, is the new Midwest, which is the southern part, the Illinois, Iowa, bit of Indiana, Missouri is the Midwest now, Midwest Regional Church, and Wisconsin and Minnesota, the northern tier. So that's all detailed in here, but yeah, that's what that is. And you can see that those two presbyteries are about equal in size in terms of membership.
And where on that chart is the Presbytery of Central U.S.?
It's this little strip of red here. Came into existence back in the 90s. It grew a bit over the first few years and then kind of dwindled and then got reabsorbed into the Dakotas and Midwest. And I don't remember the details of how many congregations went to the those two presbyteries.
Yeah, Dakotas, actually Dakotas and the Presbytery South.
Southwest. I'd have to look back and see. There's only so much you can do in a graphical presentation, you know, when things get a little sticky like that.
Eastern Europe.
Well, we have
the colors of different countries over time. And
oh, I see. And when you said Eastern Europe, I'm thinking of Ukraine, and there's the church in Lviv that is considered as a mission work of one of the congregations out in the Presbytery of California. I'm thinking, that's not the way the Presbytery clerk reports it, so I'm not going to actually hang up. Yeah, you report that to me that way every year, but that's not the way we tally it up in the reports that I check in.
I want to thank you for the way you spoke of the last 12 years and our growth is the Lord's blessing, and that that's a story to tell. It's very encouraging to us, and I know that's part of the purpose of your coming to us, so we thank you for that. I'm reminded of a similar class. John Meether, as historian, was giving a sort of a statistical analysis to another church that remained nameless, and he said, I discovered that you are tied with one other congregation for the most frequent pastorates. And it turned out that they averaged just a couple of years or something crazy like that. And instead of, you know, instead of rebuking them, he said, it seems to me you can do one of two things. You can go for the record, or you can work a little harder at keeping your pastor. I thought that was a very encouraging and gracious way to go about it. And so thank you for bringing that to the table.
You can see why John Mather is the historian and I'm the statistician, because I don't think it would work too well either way if we reversed roles. Yeah, this is only one perspective.
Right.
The Book of Numbers is just one perspective on the history of Israel in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
But it doesn't tell everything that went on, obviously. And this doesn't either. All that stuff that is going on, that's not a good way to describe it, the Lord's blessings, and they have been blessings over the years, to say the least, are kind of summarized from one angle here.
So one of the questions I'm kind of, I don't know how well you can answer this or not. What is a healthy growth rate for denomination? I mean, you've shown us fluctuation kind of between 1% and 5%, but like what's something that's sustainable for the OPC to be in existence for another 50 years or 100 years or whatever it would be?
I think we would want to be above the 2%, the straight line. That would be a healthy growth rate. What about 5%? Back, I can recall back in that that time frame, this time frame, 1990 or so. It was one of those general assemblies. It's out in Grand Rapids. I can remember. It was a joint. It was a concurrent general assembly with PCA, and I forget now who it was, challenged the OPC to think in terms of growing 5% a year. And if you think of what was it before that point in time, well, it was 2%. You know, it was 4% back in the 60s, so 5%, is conceivable, and certainly in the very early years when things were just forming, the rate was pretty high. But, up to that point, it had been 2% or less for two decades. And the challenge was laid out, how about 5%, and start planting churches and existing churches start growing more. Well, that is just what happened. Following 5 years, a 5% growth rate. If that rate had been sustained, we'd be at 100,000 members by now. If it had been sustained. And you just take that line and extend it straight out, and considering we're on a log scale, we'd be double the 50,000. We'd be up here at 100,000 instead of 33. There were some challenges to that 5% here. There's a lot of different ideas out there on how to grow a church. And some of those came into play, and some of them weren't sustained too long. We went back to under 2%, actually for quite some time. But I think we would really want to be in the 3 to 4% range. But that's the sum of, thousands of decisions made in hundreds of churches and all. But, 5% is achievable. More than that, I think, would be quite challenging in many ways. It could be very, very good. Just in terms of numbers, we have reached the quarter after. I don't want to go beyond that. We could talk offline. I'll be here for the morning. And answer other questions.
Thank you for coming.
Thank
One
you.
Thing I did want to tell you is this is also Ruth and Rebecca's father. So.
Yeah, they're in this number here someplace too. All of you are. Thank you.